sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace from Jesus the Christ, who comes to us this day and always in grace and in peace. Amen. 3 points I'd like to make today in light of this gospel text. I'm not usually a fan of 3-point sermons, but I'm going to try a little bit of a different format. 3 points I'd like to make today in light of this gospel text. Number one, this text about the loaves and the fish. Number one, the disciples wanted to send the crowds away, but Jesus held them together. The disciples wanted to send the crowds away, but Jesus held them together. The disciples wanted to keep it simple and neat, but how keeping it simple and neat can break down community and attempt to edge out God's compassion. This is a text about God's compassion, God's justice, where all are fed, all are clothed, all are housed, all are safe and have security. That's what the loaves and fish represent. This includes those who have to wait in the back of the line. In Jesus' day, women and children. Interesting that this is often referred to as the feeding of the 5,000. But if you pay attention to the text, it should be the feeding of the 5,000 men, not including women and children. So they were all fed. It includes everyone. It includes those who have to wait in the back of the line. In Jesus' day, that was women and children, lepers, Samaritans. In our day, it's Black lives. And any who are unfairly discriminated against because of their status or the color of their skin. I've been wondering this week, as Congress argues again, what God's stimulus plan might look like. What would God's health care coverage and education plan look like? If we were to bring something back from the gospel text for our world today, I think we have to look at how Jesus overflows with compassion. All ate, all were fed, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers. Furthermore, on this first point, Jesus calls the disciples to that work. I can't help but think of John Lewis's final words, John Lewis's marching orders that were repeated in his funeral service this week. Keep moving, he said. Keep moving. I mean, it reminds me of Jesus' words. You give them something to eat, Jesus says to the disciples. They come to Jesus. They're hungry, Jesus. Jesus says, keep moving. You give them something to eat. People are hungry. People are tired. People are discriminated against. People are hurting. You do something about it. Keep moving, Jesus says. That's point number one. The disciples wanted to send him away, but Jesus held them together. He calls us to do the same. Second point, the disciples didn't think there was enough, though. But Jesus turned that which was offered into more than enough. You know, I have to say, I don't really like it when biblical scholars and preachers explain away or demystify the miracles of Jesus. Like, for example, some have said, you know, the miracle, the story of Jesus walking on the water. Say, well, he was probably just on the other side of the lake, and he was actually walking on the shore, but it looked like he was walking on the water because the disciples were in the middle of the lake and there was a storm. Hey, you know, why? I think these are stories that teach us something about Jesus and teach us something about us. I'd rather focus on that than some sort of scientific analysis. So I have to say that. But that being said, one explanation that I've heard about, that I've heard for this miracle of the loaves and the fish, it is a miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 from 5 loaves and 2 fish. One explanation that I guess I wouldn't call this an explaining away, but maybe more like an explaining toward. One explanation that I do like is that the bit that was offered by someone for whom that was all they had, 5 loaves and 2 fish, was such an inspiration to everyone that everyone began to gladly share, and suddenly blessings abound. One person came forward with what they had, and others saw that and started to share what they had. And before we knew it, there were loaves and fish everywhere, and there were even leftovers. It's a common phenomenon in congregations, too, when it comes to offering and tithing, that often it is those with less income, with just a little bit, who give a greater percentage. I mean, that's just statistics. It's like the little one who offered all he had or she had, entrusting that to God to be blessed and broken and shared. That's what offering is. We bring what we have. Siblings in Christ. I read some years back that when a congregation calls a pastor, one of the things they're doing is sending that person to the biblical text each week to fish. To fish out a word from God for the people. What say you, preacher? What can you find? A word from the Lord? Anything? Any fish for us this week? The congregation is calling the pastor to go fishing. Well, in my fishing this week, I find this text to be calling us to give and keep giving, not just the fraction that we think we can afford. We are called to give all we have to God's work. I mean, it's all God's anyway, isn't it? Quick story. Jennifer, who was the financial administrator at the last church I served, she told me one time that she always says a prayer the first day of the month as she writes the first check of the month of the church to the wider church, to the synod. She said it's a holy moment for her. And she mentioned that she does the same thing in her own personal finances. The first thing she does at the beginning of the month is say a prayer. She takes a deep breath and just writes that check, just like you would, just working on the bills. This she didn't think of as a bill. This was her first gift on behalf of the church and in her own life as well. She would take a deep breath of thanksgiving and say a little prayer, just like we offer our prayer at the time of the offering prayer. A joyful prayer. Not a, oh gosh, please help me here. But thank you, God, for everything that you've done for us. Here's a sign of our gratefulness, our gratitude. May the loaves and the fishes, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, not just inspire us to share our leftovers, like at the end of the month. Let's let Christ deal with those leftovers in other ways. That's another wonderful blessing here in this text. But may God's word invigorate us today to bring all that we have with joyful thanksgiving, lay it in Christ's hands at the beginning of our day, our week, our month. Lay it in Christ's hands so that Christ may then bless it, break it, and share it with a hungry and hurting world. It's point number two. The disciples didn't think there was enough, but Jesus turned that which was offered into more than enough. Point number three. With the abundance, Jesus feeds us too. All are fed. Means you and me. We don't just empty our pockets and go home hungry and bitter. All right, here's everything, God. Jesus took everything from me. No, in this amazing story, messy, spirit-filled, children screaming, old people dancing, everyone singing, everyone fed, community in Christ, that's the result. Amen? I mean, all are fed includes you and me too. The disciples want to send them away, but Jesus even feeds the disciples. Jesus forms us all into one body through sharing. The disciples don't think there's enough, but Jesus makes sure everyone is fed, including them, including us. Friends, we are fed this day again. even and especially when we're tired, when we're depressed, when we're lost, when we're confused, when we're lonely, when we're wrapped up in conflict, when we're stressed out about money, when we're grieving our losses, when we're feeling great pain, when we're losing our hope. Jesus doesn't send us away empty. He sends us away fed. That's what I fished out for this day. May God take this bit of fish, bless it, break it, and share it. For Christ is the bread of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
All of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.